Welcome to Miami Valley Speaks, a community program that gives you the opportunity to voice your interests, concerns, and problems. Whether it's the economy, unemployment, racial issues, crime and violence, or teenage pregnancy. Your host for Miami Valley Speaks, Trent Darby.
Hello and good morning. Hopefully you're having a fantastic weekend. You know, on today's show, we're going to focus in on the progress of the Dayton Public Schools, who has had its share of adversity over the last few years. However, there's a bright light at the end of the tunnel, and here to talk more about that is school board member John McManus. Welcome back to Miami Valley Speaks, John.
Trent, thanks so much. Always a pleasure being on your show, my friend.
Yes, maybe late, but happy new year to you. And hopefully your holidays went great, huh? For new school superintendent Ron DeCour. She seemed to be stepping in and making some changes and kind of taking that leadership role very well.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, it has been an incredibly busy year at Dayton Public Schools, as we all know. And Ron DeCour, she really has stepped up to the plate. And I'm really proud of her. And, you know, I told her at the last meeting, she has been through a lot. She has put up with a lot. And I'm just really glad that we have somebody at the helm who really has extensive experience in large urban education systems. And she has really been able to handle it. And I think, too, even in terms of system-wide crises like we're facing with RTA right now, she's able to jump in, to work to find a solution with all parties involved, and not be intimidated by it. You know, she's prepared for it, and I've been really proud of her this year. She's really stepped up to the plate.
You know, when you look at her resume, boy, she brings some extensive experience when you think about working in the Windy City, Chicago, and also in Cleveland, and kind of getting those respective schools back on it.
So, hugely so. In fact, that's one of the things that really attracted me to her candidacy as superintendent. Was, and I told this to the constituents. I said, folks, I'm going to vote for somebody who has proven experience in large urban education systems. And, you know, even in Indianapolis, where she was a area superintendent, she had more students under her control and in her jurisdiction than DPS has district-wide. So you're absolutely right. Whether in Cleveland, Indianapolis, or Chicago, that experience that she earned in those large systems has really benefited Dayton Public Schools. And I tell you, she has really brought in some cutting-edge programs, some cutting-edge ideas, especially with curriculum and things of that nature that I'm just so excited about. And I've mentioned to her a little bit about my hope that we expand the career technology components that you see at Ponitz High School that are just so effective for kids. And that's just one area that she has a lot of experience in. And it's just one example of her rich experience in large urban education systems that I know is going to benefit the kids at Dayton Public.
You know, when we talked, John, last year, we were talking about this before the state testing and, you know, avoiding state takeover. Well, the good news, the fact that they, you know, received a passing grade. And how did they accomplish this? You know, to think about some of the key components of keeping those scores on the rise. And you talked about that. It's almost like, you know, it was an epiphany, but you figured that out. Talk a little bit about the state scores and how DPS came through when they really needed to.
Absolutely. And I will tell you, Trent, the threat of state takeover was the whole reason that I, a little bit more than a year ago, literally walked in off the sidewalks to the Board of Elections to pull paperwork. To run for this seat. I mean, that's what really got me. That's what got me in the race. That's what really got me curious and inspired to run for a seat on the board. I thought it was going to take us 4 years, you know, just about right up into the deadline. I thought we were going to have to enter into litigation with the state of Ohio, possibly to prevent a takeover. And I was just so incredibly pleased that it happened. Much, much quicker than I thought it would. Mm-hmm. And it involved so many different components. It involved parents, students, the administration, the board, teachers, everybody, technology. And I really do want to also give credit to former Superintendent Laurie Ward as well. You know, she had a lot to do with this as well. But I was just overwhelmed when we got the news. It literally means that the people of Dayton have earned their right to control their own school district. And so the state set back the clock 6 years, and which means we are completely on par with Oakwood and Kettering in terms of timeline. So we have 5 or 6 years now to really work on some great things and not have to look over our shoulder and worry about a state takeover. So, but, you know, the interesting part about it is I did ask that question. I said, all right, so tell me exactly, you know, how this, what exactly pushed us over the line in terms of different categories and how many points were allotted. The interesting part is the value-added formula that really saved Dayton Public Schools from a takeover is actually proprietary to the Ohio Department of Education. So any school district who receives A, B, C, D, F on value added, and you really want to know exactly how you did it according to the Ohio Department of Education, it's proprietary. And they'll just, you know, they'll tell you, look, folks, you did it. Congratulations. We can't tell you exactly how we did it because that's our formula, but you did it. So,
yeah.
So we did our own analysis. We put our own study together, and we matched it up as closely as we think we did. But it was just such a wonderful moment to know that we not only received a C or a B in value added, we received an A in value added.
That's fantastic.
What saved us.
Yes.
And value added means we made progress on our lowest performing, what the state calls subgroups. I don't like that word, but that's what the state calls it. So lowest performing students and groups of students, we made enormous progress there to get an A, and it saved us.
Wow.
It saved us.
You know, I was just thinking, you know, before all of this took place, what do you think some of the reasons were that maybe the reading scores or other tests, you know, just wasn't up to snuff
sure.
with DPS?
Sure. You know, I took a really deep dive when I was campaigning for a year to find that answer out for myself. And I'll tell you what the state audit said. The audit of Dayton Public Schools by the state, basically, they gave us 15 different shortcomings at Dayton Public Schools, and 13 of the 15 were tied to administrative shortcomings, if you will. And so I really think there were so many different factors, but one thing that I think was essential was a central focus and an implementation with fidelity of everything that Dayton Public Schools does. And I think a lot of the different school buildings were on different tracks. I think a lot of the curriculum was not being implemented with fidelity. I think that too many of our staff were not given great opportunities to training and development. And a huge component is, I think in any school district that's falling behind in terms of performance is monitoring and data monitoring and really seeing where you are student by student, classroom by classroom, school building by school building, so that there are no surprises at the end. Because if you're not monitoring your progress and you're not monitoring your performance using data, you're kind of sailing in the dark out there. And so Dayton Public very, very quickly worked to change that, to know exactly where the performance shortcomings were and to really take a look at those and implement some very strategic interventions with students in different groups to make sure those shortcomings were shored up. So there are just it's a big district. It's a huge system. And every single day that I'm on the board, I'm reminded of just how big it is. Once you think you've gotten one area under control, there's something else that pops up, and you got to do a quick fix or a long-term vision to help shore any deficiencies up. So there were just so many things that would probably take me 5 or 6 hours to talk about, which I'm happy to do it if you got.
Yes, we're going to have to start doing segments.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. John McManus, school board member for the Dayton Public Schools, my guest today on Miami Valley Speaks. You know, John, what are some of the issues moving forward? Maybe you had talked about a couple when it pertains to Rhonda Kaur and what she would like to address in 2017 and beyond.
Yes. So I will I'll touch on the superintendent, some of her real priorities. I think number one and two, which are absolutely critical always, are literacy and math. Literacy and math, because, you know, number one, those are critical components to academic performance and student success these days, and as it has always been. And unfortunately, with public education and just education in general today, with so many different factors outside of our control, or, you know, with the state saying, you know, the end-all, be-all are test scores, whether that's the case or not, literacy and math will always, always be central to a healthy student's academic success. And I'm a big fan of getting back to basics, and that's exactly what we need to do. And Rhonda Kaur really has brought in some of the curriculum programs and the progress monitoring systems that really served her well in former districts and really saw a huge jump in the numbers in her former districts. And she's bringing that to Dayton Public Schools. So, and we've already seen some really great turnaround numbers. Even with the one-to-one technology, it made a huge difference in terms of student performance in the classroom with the help of the teachers. But I put out a video. I love putting out videos on my Facebook page, my public page. And so I talked about for 2017, what are two of my priorities? Number one, I really want to fix as best I can transportation. That has been a problem for a long time. And two, I really want to work to transform the perception that many have of Dayton Public Schools. We really need to get aggressive on our marketing and really telling the community the great things that we're doing. Because, you know, today in education, public schools, public school districts, we have to compete with charters and vouchers. Mm-hmm. And it's not just about the competition. It's about making sure the people of Dayton know that that they can be so proud of their public school district, and sharing with them the stories and talking about our students and staff who just give their all every single day, every single day. And I said in my video, and I'll repeat it again, one of the biggest responsibilities of elected officials, in my opinion, is giving the constituency, giving the citizenry a government that they can be proud of and that they can have confidence in. And I want to help give them that that government of the Dayton City School District. So, but, you know, there are seven of us on the board. We all have different priorities. We have 3,000 employees who are focused on student achievement. And, you know, my pet projects, if you will, for last year were, number one, making sure we avoided a takeover, which was is completed. And two, making sure we really transformed our HR department at Dayton Public Schools into the department I knew it could be. And we have done some incredible transformational things with HR at DPS that have really served us well this year. So, you know, sometimes you got to take a look at one or two or three things that really need a laser-like focus and working towards it and moving the ball down the field. So I'm really looking forward to 2017.
You know, I'm very proud because I come from the Dayton Public School systems from K all the way through high school. So,
awesome.
So, you know, STEM programs. Are there any STEM programs in Dayton Public Schools?
There are. Science, technology, engineering, and math. There are. But I'll tell you, I really want to put these kinds of programs on overdrive, mm-hmm. big time. So you take a look, and I'll tell you why. You take a look at public school systems that really focus on whether it's STEM or career technology, or they call it STEAM sometimes these days. So STEM plus the A, A
right.
is for the arts.
Mm-hmm.
Things that really get kids excited to come to school, you know, that really get kids engaged and wanting to come back and wanting to perform. And these are all things that are just absolutely critical. And I had a conversation with Superintendent Kaur probably about 6 months ago. And she said one of the schools in Chicago when she was there that had the highest waiting list was an agricultural-focused school in Southside Chicago. And so things like that that are just add a kind of a unique twist to your curriculum are something that, that we so need. I mean, we had a kid who graduated from Dayton Public who right out of graduation, he was offered a job paying over $70,000 a year. I've never made that much.
Wow.
Yeah, because he had gotten a certification, I think, at Ponitz. For it was a technology or an engineering certification, and I mean, look at that, you know. And he ended up turning it down. I think he wanted to go to college, and I really admire that too. But that's the kind of thing that if we offer these unique programs, STEM, STEAM, career technology, things of that nature, certifications, the trades, you can really transform students' lives in a very unique way. You know, there are some kids and there are some adults who say, I just don't want to go to college. I really want to be a really good electrician,
mm-hmm.
or I want to be a really good pipe fitter. And some of those jobs are paying $60 an hour, and I don't blame them.
Right, right.
So, you know, I we have a responsibility to our students to do that. We really do. And especially in Dayton where, you know, this is a city of invention and there is so much need for the trades out there. I talk with factory workers and factory owners who say, man, we really need some more employees. But, you know, some folks, they may not know how to hold a wrench or weld or something like that. And we just really need them. What are y'all doing to make sure you're providing those career tech programs? There's a need. Mm-hmm. There's a need out there. And so I'm really focused on doing that for 2017. I'll tell you, I hadn't told many people, but one thing I'd really like to do, we have, you know, the Jackson Center property and the old Gardendale property. I've been having a few conversations with some leaders in town saying, maybe we can really transform one of these buildings into another career technology center where we bring in the trades, you know, the mechanics and pipe fitting and welding and everything else. Dayton Public needs more of that. And so I think 2017 is going to be a really good year. It's going to be a busy year, but it's going to be a great year.
You know, you hit home with a couple of schools you just named off, Gardendale and also Jackson. I didn't leave too far from Jackson, which was on McCall Street. And you think back then when we were school, we had so many young people in the Miami Valley area. You know, half those schools have closed because a lot of the industries, you know, kind of left Dayton back in the late 70s and early 80s. So there were no need for a number of those schools. I can rattle them off, you know, how many schools have closed since then. But, you know, anyway, that's encouraging about the technology and the education programs in DPS. Now, one of the things that was discussed right before the 2016-17 school year itself was making cuts in various areas, including teachers. But DPS actually has decided to wait to the end of the school year to make such cuts. What was the key factor in making that particular decision?
Absolutely. And I'm really glad you asked. And you know, that was a pretty bruising fight, and you know, I caught a little bit of heat for that because I was really fighting the layoffs. And some people, they said, "Hey, John, you know, you're kicking the can down the road." But my biggest philosophy behind kind of pumping the brakes on the layoffs were I fundamentally do not think that a system-wide reduction in force that affects classroom personnel, teachers and paraprofessionals, and a lot in between, should be done in the middle of the school year. I don't see, and I didn't see the rationale behind that, at least sufficient rationale that would have earned my vote. Mm-hmm. And it was just, in my opinion, it was the wrong timing. And you know, whether it's the right thing to do or not, you know, that fight will be brought up perhaps after the school year, and we'll take a look at everything all over again. But it just, that's not something that should happen in the middle of the school year. You know, our kids desperately need, so many of them, stability in their lives, and they need that hope that's tied with their wonderful teacher and their wonderful paraprofessional. And when you disrupt that in the middle of the school year, it really has an effect on the kids. And it has an effect on academic performance. it has an effect on kind of the confidence and the steadiness of life for a lot of our children. And I just didn't think that was a good idea, especially on the heels of avoiding a state takeover. You know, we have proven that the tract we are on is really making some true on-the-ground progress, so much so that we avoided a takeover and got an A in value added. And I just didn't want to shake that up in the middle of the school year, not in the middle of the school year. You know, and a lot of our employees, God bless them, they said, you know, John, if this is something y'all have to do, then we get it. But and I'll be fine regardless. But just don't do it to the kids. You know, don't do it in the middle of the school year. And I really listened to that. I made a decision. And when I make a decision, I fight as hard as I can until I can't keep fighting anymore. And so I'm really proud of my board colleagues for really coming together and saying, hey, guys, let's pump the brakes on this. Let's wait till after the school year. And I'm very thankful to them. And the superintendent as well. I'm very thankful to her as well for everybody came together and I think kind of saw the reasoning behind it. And the community really stepped up. And I want to thank every single person who spoke at the meetings, who came to the meetings, and made their voice heard. That's part about a good democracy right there. And our constituents really let us know their opinion, and it made a huge difference.
What was some of their, the parents, what were some of their responses to this situation?
I think a lot of it really... The component affecting the paraprofessionals really hit home. You know, our paraprofessionals, they assist our teachers in a lot of different things, classroom management, things of that nature, because the teachers, they can't handle it all on their own, all during the day with the myriad of different responsibilities that they have. They need some help in that classroom. And that comes down to the paraprofessionals. And these paras, they are there for our kids. They're there for our teachers. And the parents said, you know, guys, just don't do this. You know, we had some paras there. You know, Miss Nelson, she's one of our paras over at Charity Early. And some parents showed up saying, she's made a huge difference in the lives of our children. And she does every single day. And she's there for our kids. And our kids love her. You know, I shadowed Miss Nelson for a day, and those kids were all running up to her, giving her a hug, and they love her. And so, you know, you take somebody away in the middle of the school year that the kids just love and that the teachers love and that both rely on tremendously for different reasons, and that can be traumatic.
Yeah.
That can be traumatic.
Yes.
So our parents want their kids to be happy, and our staff, they make our kids happy. And so can't do that in the middle of the school year. That's my opinion, and I'm glad to see that I don't want to say won the battle for now, but that things worked out for the best.
Sure,
temporarily.
Sure. You know, you think about it, and a lot of these cuts, John, really the proposed cuts was a reason because of a drop in enrollment, with the students in Dayton Public Schools. And what has been discussed about this matter, because it seems like maybe some of the students at DPS, their parents are pulling them out, sending the Trotwood, Wayne, Chaminade, Julianne, Alter, whatever, outside of Montgomery
right.
County.
Right. You know, and I will tell you, the state makes it tremendously, tremendously easy, especially in Ohio. They call Ohio kind of the Wild West of charters and vouchers, and that's the truth. And I think for a long time, and public school enrollment, especially in urban areas in Ohio, has been declining for years and years and years because of charters and vouchers that are just wholesale unregulated. But school board members of urban school districts for a very long time, I think, have kind of hoped that the charters and vouchers situation would be not a fad, but kind of something that would, you know, take hold and then kind of level out and everybody would just come back to their public school district. And that happens sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of school board members and a lot of superintendents and everybody else all across the state have to accept the reality that today is a different day in education. And back in the day, if you were sending your child to get a public education, he or she went to a public school in their public school district.
Exactly.
Period, end of story.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the case anymore. And one of the reasons I really want to stress marketing is because just like Coca-Cola has to compete with Pepsi every day, public school districts, including Dayton Public, have to compete with charters and voucher institutions.
Wow, you raise a great
day.
Point. Yeah, you raise. Yeah.
Yeah, we have more charters per capita in Montgomery County than any other county in the state of Ohio, and we have to fight to tell our story, so that the parents of this community can know about all the great things that are going on, and so they can have confidence in Dayton Public Schools, the Board of Education, and all of our staff.
Wow.
So it's a long road, but we have to do that. We have to compete. We have to market. It's just an essential component to a successful public school district in Ohio.
Yeah, I mean, you know, hey, colleges market. I mean, you know,
you gotta market,
IBM, right? Apple, they all, you know, they market. You know, I only have a couple of minutes, John, but I wanted to cover this because there has been, over the last calendar year, some safety issues, particularly after a young girl was stabbed during recess.
Yeah.
I think that was last year. What has been discussed in keeping these young students safe in 2017 and moving forward?
Absolutely. You know, right after that happened at World of Wonder, I went and visited with a lot of the parents, and I was there with Superintendent Ward at the time. And that experience just really changed me as a new board member. And so I immediately went to the administration, and I said, y'all need to come up with a plan, some recommendations, put it in front of the board for some security recommendations, and let's make this happen. I don't care how much money we have to spend. You know, our kids are going to be safe. And so we've done that. And whether it be fencing or the highest grade technology surveillance or alarm systems, video surveillance, things of that nature, making sure our staff and our SROs get more training and development, we have really implemented a top-notch security system across Dayton Public Schools. And, you know, it's really sad that the state of the world, you know, that's what you have to do these days, because I tell you, back in the day, I think they built these schools so they could be community centers, so that the neighbors and the kids during the weekends could come in and just kind of use the playgrounds and the wonderful grounds. But the world has changed. It's a different world today. And so you have to adjust to the reality of the world. And so we've done some great things, and we've spent some really good money making sure that Dayton Public Schools is the safest school district in Montgomery County, and I'll put that on us and on anybody. I'm really proud of what we've done.
You know, quickly, we've got about a minute. I wanted to cover this because you talked about it at the beginning of the program. RTA is currently on strike. How is it affecting, and what is the protocol for DPS school students to get to school?
Sure. I can't underscore enough how absolutely frustrated I am that RTA let it come to this. It is just unacceptable. And we have, you know, hundreds of students missed school this week because of the current situation and the breakdown in the labor dispute. And so I'm incredibly frustrated. And as a board member of one of RTA's largest customers, I will say that if they do not get this fixed very quickly, then I will have a very hard time voting to rely on their services in the future. I mean, these are our kids, mm-hmm. and this has to be settled now. So, but I'm going to tell you, I'm really, really inspired by the community. And Dr. Robert C. Walker, board member, he reached out to a lot of the pastors and faith leaders in town, and a lot of those churches, especially on the west side, have really stepped up, and they have given us use of their transportation buses. And so I know the superintendent, we're getting more information tonight, but the superintendent worked out a logistics plan. And so I just want to say thank you to those faith leaders and to Dr. Walker for stepping up to make sure our kids can get to school, because we, Dayton Public, we don't have time for this.
Right.
We're fighting so hard to make sure attendance is at an acceptable rate, and this is just unacceptable.
Yeah.
You know, just like employers need reliable employees, if we're going to contract, we need reliable service providers. And this is not reliable, and I am incredibly disappointed. I can't underscore that enough.
All right, hey, John, we're out of time, but, hey, I appreciate you taking the time. I know you got a busy schedule, but coming on and telling us about the progress at Dayton Public Schools, it looks like things are looking up for 2017.
Absolutely.
And continued success, John, and we'll talk to you soon.
thanks for what you do for this community, Trent, and for my constituents. You're a good man.
You have been listening to Miami Valley Speaks, a community program that reaches out to the greater Dayton area and gives you the platform to talk about your interests, concerns, and problems. We encourage you to send your comments about this program, and you can do so by email at wcsu@centralstate.edu. Join Trent Darby next Saturday for Miami Valley Speaks on Public Media Jazzy 88.9 WCSU.